In this week's parsha, after the destruction of Sodom, Avraham and Sarah move to a new location. They move to the Negev, Bein Kadesh Uvein Shur, and Vayogar Begrar, and they temporarily settle in Gerar. Avram asks Sarah, please present yourself as my sister. However, the king of Gerar, Avimelech, desires Sarah and takes her to the palace. That night, Hashem comes to Avimelech in a dream and says, you will die because the woman that you took is actually a married woman. And Avimelech says, but that's not fair. How was I supposed to know? He said it was a sister. She said it was a brother. There was no way I could have known that. And Hashem says to Avimelech, you're right. I know that you're innocent, and therefore I didn't let you come close to her the whole night. But you should give back the sister, this woman now. Give her back to her husband. Ki Navihu, he is a Navi. Vayispalel ba'atcha, and he will pray for you. V'chei, and you will live. This is the first time that Vayispalel, or Tfilah, is used in the Chumash, and Rav Hirsch wants to understand what the meaning of this word is. I was very happy when I found this Rav Hirsch, because it answered a question I had had for a long time. When a person wants to develop a relationship with someone else, it would seem rather odd and not so productive to say the same words to that person every single day. Imagine picking up the phone and calling your new friend and every day repeating the same three sentences. And yet this is what we do when we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're meant to have a makom kavua, a set place, zman kavua, set time, and every day we open up our siddurim and we say exactly the same words. And I always wondered, how is this effective? How is this connecting me to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Rav Hirsch says, there are really two types of prayers. There's one that comes from inside out. It could be called siach or trina. And the way it works is that it contains my deepest emotions and feelings. And I communicate them with HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout the day. We're very familiar with this type of talk. It's not so long since the beginning of the school year, and we all remember those first day of school tefillahs. It goes something like this. Hashem, the son, he really needs a good Rebbe this year. He needs a Rebbe who will understand him, who will motivate him, who will inspire him. Because I know my son could fly if he has the right person to help him. Hashem, please give him the right Rebbe this year. Or sometimes my daughter comes home and she has a question for me and I'm not quite sure how to respond, but I do know that it's an important question. And I say, Hashem, I don't know what to tell her. I don't know what she can hear, but I know that I need to answer her right. So Hashem, can you please put the right words in my mouth so that she hears them in the right way? Because I know that it's so important. And sometimes it's simply, Hashem, if this baby doesn't fall asleep right now, I certainly will not function tomorrow. So please, Hashem, can you help me put this baby to sleep? Rav Hirsch says, this is not what we mean when we say the word tefillah. Tefillah comes from the shoresh, vayispalel comes from the shoresh of pilel, to judge. What a judge does is looks at two people who have their own variation of the truth. And he looks at the confusion, and each one is saying their thing. And he passes the verdict with clarity, and he says, this is the truth. That's what a judge does. When we do that to ourselves, it's called lehitpalel. It's called tefillah. In Rav Hirsch's words, to take the element of God's truth, make it penetrate all phases and conditions of our being and our life, and thereby gain for ourselves the harmonious even tenor of our whole existence in God. How does it work? What does it mean? Perhaps a person is standing and davening and he's thinking about his day. And there's an important interview that's going to happen today. He wants to get a new job and he's thinking, what should I say to impress the employer? How am I going to make him see that I'm an intelligent, capable, and valuable worker who he wants to hire for his firm? What words should I use? How should I convince him? And while he's thinking all these things, he hears a voice penetrating, and it's his voice, and it's saying, "Ata choinen l'adam das." And he says, "Right, it has nothing to do with me. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu." Or perhaps there's a doctor's appointment that day, and it's an important one. And in his head are swirling all kinds of diagnoses and second opinions. And should I be going to this doctor or to this hospital or what should I be doing? And there's so much confusion. And then a voice of clarity penetrates. And again, it's his voice. And it's saying, "Rifa'enu Hashem v'nei Rafe, Hashienu v'nei Vashaya." And he says, "Right, this has nothing to do with the doctor. The doctor is just the shaliach. It's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu." This is tefillah. And Rav Hirsch continues and says, one can truly say that the less we feel inclined to prayers, the greater is the necessity for saying them, the greater the importance, the greater the effect on us. Because the lack of the inclination for it is in itself the clearest sign of the clouding over and darkening of that spirit and that recognition of the great truth which tefillah does not assume us to have, but which it is rather to create, animate, and set right in us. It's tefillah, it's saying those words that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah composed for us, that give us the clarity, specifically and especially on those days where I don't have the inner inspiration to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is one clause, however, and this does not come from Rav Samson Raphael Hirsch, but it's quite obvious. In order for tefillah to work, we actually have to be able to hear the words that we are saying. Meaning that if I don't even concentrate for a moment on what I'm saying, there's no way for the words to penetrate. This happened to me one day when I was trying to remember if I had benched. So when I'm cooking, and I'm not sure if I put salt into my soup, I look around for evidence. I see, do I see a salty spoon in my sink? Or do I see a box of salt on my counter? And if I see it, I say, oh, I must have put salt in my soup. And I was doing the same thing. I was looking on the table to see maybe there's a bencher on the table so I could remember if I benched. And I said, how could I have benched and it meant so little to me that I don't even remember doing it? And it was a very disturbing thought to me. And so I took out a bench and I started to look through the words. Now, I have benched tens of thousands of times in my life, but perhaps this was the first time that I was really concentrating on the words. And I came to the place in benching where we ask Hashem for 15 different things. And I started to go through them to try and figure out what I was asking for. What does it mean? L'chein. I'm asking for chein. Chein is that invisible quality which one cannot buy, which makes people like us, which makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu likes us. It is such an important quality to have because there's almost nothing we can do ourselves to get it. It's just a gift. Chesed. Chesed is what we need from Hashem at all times. It's when He looks at us, not b'midas hadin, but with chesed, and He gives us what we need. Ularachamim is even more. It's when we don't necessarily deserve it, and He looks at us with compassion and pity and gives us and provides for us. Ula revach. What's revach? There's two explanations for revach that I found. Revach can either mean space. It means that when I'm feeling like I can't breathe, when I'm feeling so much stress, and I don't have time to even look around and move, and Hashem gives me space. That's revach. Revach can also mean a lot. And there's so much that we want a lot of. We want a lot of children. We want a lot of money. We want a lot of space for those children. We want a lot of nachas from those children. We want a lot of a lot. That's revach. Hatzalah is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and He saves us. And there's sometimes in our day that we have situations that we don't even know that we need to be saved from. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down and saves us. Hatzlacha. Hatzlacha is the secret spice that makes things work out. And it often is not congruent to the amount of effort that we're putting into something. We could be working on a very, very complicated recipe and spend many hours on it, and it doesn't come out good. And we could be working on a very simple recipe, and it's delicious. And the difference is, hatzlacha. Do we have the success? And we need that secret ingredient in absolutely everything that we do. Bracha comes from the word brecha. Brecha is a pool. And we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to pour in the brachas to that pool, just to give us more and more of it. Yeshua is a salvation that we don't even have the strength to contribute anything at all to that salvation. It's all in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands that he's coming and he's saving us. Nechama is when the Yeshua doesn't come and we don't have the salvation and we just need the comfort, when it's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu who could grant us that true comfort. Parnasa v'chalkala is an interesting difference between them. Parnasa is the things that we actually need to survive, the bare minimum of food, of shelter, of clothing. Kalkala is all the rest, the second pair of shoes and the third and the fourth, the bigger house and the pillows on the bed. V'rachamim. And then I stopped and I said, wait, I did rachamim. Didn't I do rachamim? And I went back to the beginning. L'chein u'l'chesed u'l'rachamim. So I said, hey, I wonder why we say rachamim twice. And then I said, I have been benching for so many years and I never noticed that we said rachamim twice. And then I started to ask people, why do we say rachamim twice? And the very frightening thing is not that no one was able to tell me why we say rachamim twice, but nobody knew that we said rachamim twice. And I'm thinking to myself, here we're all sitting and benching, and not one of us is listening to the words that we say. I hope that some of you who are listening know that we say rachamim twice. Afterwards, somebody pointed out to me, one of the Pirushim, that says that the reason we say rachamim twice is that one of the rachamims is that we're asking for Hashem to have rachamim, to have mercy on us, and the other is that we should have in ourselves the midah, the quality of having rachamim on others, that we should be merciful and compassionate to others. But look at what we're asking for, v'chaim, and life itself, v'shalom, and peace, v'chol tov, and everything good. And in order to get the benefit from this tefillah, we have to actually listen to ourselves saying it. So again, two types of communication with Hashem. One from the inside out, one from the outside in. Both crucial, both so important to every single aspect of our lives.